Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, and welcome back to Season 9 of Mads World. I'm your host, Mads, and I'm so excited to be kicking off this season with you guys. If you have enjoyed any of the previous eps in the lead up to Season 9, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, as it's the simplest way to help out the show. Or find me on social media and tell all your friends. This episode is sponsored by Beducated, who want to help you to learn how to have great sex. They bring pleasure-based sex education right to your bedroom with over 100 online courses from the world's top experts. This episode is all about encouraging healthier dating behaviors and having a knowledge of what you want, how your body works, and what turns you on all feeds into making better decisions in your dating life. Beducated can help you do just that through discovering new skills, building confidence, and encouraging honesty between yourself and your sexual partners. Be sure to check them out at the link in my bio and use the code MADS in all uppercase for 40% off when you sign up. This week, I am joined by best-selling author, 5-board-accredited life coach, and body positive advocate, Michelle Ellman. Named as one of the most inspirational women in the UK, Michelle has established herself as the queen of boundaries and empowers singles to embrace who they are, show themselves love, and prioritize their own wants and needs. Michelle teamed up with dating app Plenty of Fish to create the Desirable Dating Guide, a new study of 4,000 British singles exploring modern-day dating behaviours to define the do's and don'ts of dating in 2023. Because let's face it, the dating landscape is always changing, and with so many different ways to meet people, the universal dating experience, both online and offline, can be a bit of a mixed bag. In this episode, we discuss the UK's top dating pet peeves, positive dating behaviours, communicating boundaries, looking inwards, and preparing in the lead up to a date. Hello, Michelle.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's so lovely to have you, and it's so nice to have such a friendly face first thing in the morning while we record.
I know, perfect way to start the day.
I know. Well, first up is our speed date question round, so everyone listening can learn a little bit more about you. So my first question is, I'd just love it if you could tell our listeners a bit more about your career as a life coach and a broadcaster, author, public speaker, so many different things. It'd be awesome to just hear how your career began and how it's grown.
Yeah, I'm one of those multi-hyphenate. I feel like such a millennial job. Just couldn't pick a job title, so I took them all.
Yeah.
But I started as a life coach back in 2014. And that's where that side of my job started. And then I went viral for a bikini picture around body positivity. And that's launched the influencer side of my job. And I happened to go viral right after I had already got a book deal. So it was one of those things of like, all the stars aligning. And so, yeah, I do a bit of everything at the moment. Life coaching, I'm an author. I love public speaking, so that's a big part of it. And then broadcast stuff was on This Morning this week talking about friendship dilemmas. So it's being a life coach, but in all the different mediums, whether it's social media or presenting. And that's the best way I could describe my job.
Amazing. And in terms of social media, so obviously you've got a massive following now. How have you found that, and how has it grown since it started? Was it that one viral video and then it was from there, or is it a lot of hard work?
I do think it was a different landscape when my following grew, because no one was making a living off it. So you could get one. It wasn't even a video. It was a photo. It was a photo of me with my scars. And I make the joke that, you know, your body's so different when you go viral for a bikini picture, because not many other people have built a whole following just because it was a picture of me in a bikini. That was it. It's just I have scars on my stomach. Obviously, it takes quite a lot of work to then continue after that one viral picture to actually build it into a following. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I think I grew a following because I was talking about things that were very taboo at the time. Mm-hmm. And people weren't feeling represented by the traditional media. And so that's where there was always this feeling when I was growing up that no one was talking about the things that I felt most insecure about. So I became that person who talked about the insecure things and then realized, oh, well, I have 250,000 followers. It's probably that I'm not actually the only one in the world who's going through this. So it was one of those things of actually, once I launched this campaign called Scar Not Scared, I was like, oh, I've never been alone. It's just everyone else was feeling like no one was talking about it either. I just think it's such a fortunate job, and it's a flexible job where you can talk about anything that interests you. And I've gone from body positivity to talking about boundaries to now being really passionate about dating. And there aren't many life coaches in the world that can jump from one to another when they get bored. And that's essentially what I do. Is I'm generally motivated by improving people's well-being, making sure they live the most of their life. And I think with my medical experience, it is the fact that I never felt like I had enough time on this planet. And so I want other people to make the most of that time, whether it's improving their dating life or their body image or all of those aspects. I think there's like a common thread. But traditionally in life coaching, you pick one, stick to one, and the social media aspect means I've been able to go from one topic to another, and it kind of flows quite nicely. And I'm just loving this phase of talking about dating at the moment. Aww. And it was mainly guided by my own personal life, because I was single for 8 years and I loved dating. And then, as Sod's Law would have it, I got a book deal for writing a book about being single, and I got into a relationship 2 weeks later.
Classic.
And I'm still in that relationship today. But it was one of those things where I was just like, why is everyone talking about dating in such a negative way? Mm. I love dating. And I think sometimes when you look at people like me, I'm plus size for people listening who can't see what I look like. I'm plus size, I'm mixed race, I have scars across my stomach. I'm all those things that society tells you should make your dating life harder or limits your dating pool. And I just didn't find that to be true. More often than not, it was me not being interested. And I just thought there needed to be that positive representation, because, of course, things like body shaming, being fetishized, all the research that we found in the Desirable Dating Guide around top turnoffs, that all happens, ghosting, catfishing, all these things. But there's also a really positive side to it too. And as long as you have your boundaries and you know what you deserve and you know what you're going to stand up about and how you want people to behave and what you're not going to tolerate, that stuff is actually the most insignificant part of it. The significant part of it is actually all the fun I had, the amazing great people I met. And also, I used a lot of my dates as an opportunity to explore London as well. So like, I got to really have the most fun I could in the city that I love by actually planning interesting dates as well.
That's so good. Yeah, when I moved to London from Australia, that was one of the ways that I saw the city, just when I didn't know anyone here, because I moved here on my own. And then it was so nice. It was like, and I usually left with a friend, even if it wasn't a romantic connection. I feel like I still have people on Instagram that I dated 6 years ago when I first came here. It's so nice.
It's actually so interesting, because I just was on my Substack, and today we're actually talking about how people end relationships. So every Friday I talk about your wins, and this week I was like, how have you set a boundary and ended a romantic relationship in a positive way? And so many people are like, I ended this and 9 years ago I said to them I'd rather be friends, and I'm still friends with them today. And all the comments underneath are like, me too, me too. So you can get friendship out of dating as well.
That's so nice to hear. My next question is, what is your greatest achievement? Obviously, you've done so much cool stuff. What makes you feel most proud out of everything you've done?
It's actually quite a recent achievement. One of my biggest goals for a long time has been going on this morning, and I went on it 2 weeks ago, and then I went on it 2 days ago. So it's been really nice, and also just such a compliment. They invited me back. But it's quite strange because when I get asked that question, my go-to answer is actually usually my TED talk, and I always find it's what you're most scared of is actually the thing you end up being most proud of. So the TED talk was the thing I was probably closest to saying no to, just because I didn't think I was ready. And so once it was done, I was like, I can't believe I just did that. And it went really well and I loved it. And it's still probably one of the best talks I've ever done.
That's so good. Do you know what? It's so weird that you say that, because this week I've been asked if I'd want to do a live show by a PR company. And it was actually 2 weeks ago, and I just ignored it because I was like, I don't think I'm ready. And I was so scared, and I was like, oh, what if no one comes? Like, it was sort of like having a birthday party when you're younger and you're like, what if no one shows up? But yeah, and then I ended up replying and I put it on Instagram just to throw a feeler out, and the response was like insane. And I was like, oh my God, like, sometimes you just forget to believe in yourself a little bit.
But also, no one talks about the times where you throw events and no one turns up. And I saw something on Twitter where some authors were talking about it, and it's happened to me too. Like, it happens. I have had events where I have thrown it out and I've sold out within 10 minutes. And there are also events I've put out for whatever reason, whether it's the date or train strikes, whatever, and we had to cancel it. And so it happens. And I think there shouldn't be any shame in it, because it's better you tried and actually have to cancel it rather than not trying at all. Yeah. And I think a lot of this shame around, oh, no one's going to come, you take it personally, as it's like personal, but it's a lot of the times you can sell out an event one day and not another. It's usually down to external circumstances.
Oh, well, I'll have to let you know how I go, because it's
say yes to it. Figure it out later.
Yeah, I'll figure it out later. My next question is, what is the funniest DM you've ever received?
Well, I get weird DMs all the time.
I love it.
I think the weirdest DMs actually are the ones from people like in my like early childhood coming across my account. I remember a nanny who looked after me for 6 months DM'd me one day. She was like, you won't remember, but I looked after you for like 6 months when you were like 4 years old. And I was did you recognize me? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I probably look quite similar, but I guess she also knew my name. But
yeah,
things like that, I'm like, the world is so much smaller than you know.
That's crazy. Yeah, and I guess it's like people coming out of the woodworks because they see you've got a following now and they're just like, oh, hey, we went to school together. And you're like, you were mean to me or something.
Yeah, those ones are less pleasant. Those ones tend to be blocked and ignored. The ones where it's just like, oh, I just want to say hi. Like, I'm glad to see you're doing well. And I looked after you when you were four years old. I'm like, oh, that's sweet.
Stunning.
I mean, maybe it's not even true, because I don't remember before.
You wouldn't know. There could be some just old lady being like,
I'm quite naive. I reply to it. I'm like, oh, nice to see you. Like,
oh, that's so good. And my last question for this round is, what is your best date story? Or your funniest date story, or your worst? It can be any genre. We just love them.
Oh, I have so many date stories. I feel like your best date story has to be with your current person. So my first date with my boyfriend. It's so funny, because tonight we're actually going back to the place where we went for our first date. Weirdly, like he walked past it the other day and he was like, let's go back. So it's booked for tonight. But it was quite strange, because on the way there, I got followed. I mean, this isn't a nice story, so it kind of came across like I was about to tell a nice story. But on the way there, I got followed by a guy who would not leave me alone. And so when I arrived, like, basically we were both walking to meet somewhere on the street because he had arrived early.
Yeah.
And this guy would not leave me alone. And so by the time I arrived and saw him from like across the street, then he disappeared. But then I was frazzled, was like, oh, I don't know what to do right now. And so I think I tried to pretend I was fine for about a few minutes. And then I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm acting really jumpy right now because a guy just followed me down the street. It's never happened to me before. And you know what? Those moments happen on dates, and it's about how they react. And if he had reacted like, oh, that's strange, or like whatever, there probably wouldn't have been a second date. But because he was like, no worries, take it all the time you need. Is there anything I can do? Do you want to sit down? Like, all of these things, like, it just shows you how their character is. But yeah, it went so well. It was still, it was the first date I went on after COVID. And it went so well, we were only allowed that 2-hour slot at this drinks place.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were trying to find a restaurant afterwards.
Yeah.
And all of them were shut because it was like COVID. So I was like, okay, I don't want you to get any ideas, but the only thing we can kind of do right now at like 9:30 at night is you can come to mine, we can order a takeaway, but like don't get any ideas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just one caveat.
So we actually like ended up coming to mine and we did have a takeaway. And it was just, it was lovely and comfortable. And yeah, it was
wonderful. That is so nice. I can't believe that. And so was that like 3 years ago?
Congrats,
that's wonderful. That's such I love a nice date story. We get a lot of funny date stories in Mad's World and just terrible date stories, but every now and then there's a nice one and I'm like, it makes me believe again. I'm feeling very cynical about dating at the moment, so I'm like, that's so good to hear.
I mean, I don't have any real terrible ones, but the funniest one I tell is there was a guy who on a first date offered to buy me a Rolex and an iPad. No, I didn't, because it just really threw me off. Everyone thinks it's a nice story. And I was like, no, like, that's definitely love bombing. Like, I was like, don't really owe you anything. Like, so yeah, I did say no to both, but I did think it came from a place of insecurity of, actually, I say within my book, like, it felt like he didn't know what he was bringing to the table. So he thought he'd just bring an expensive table.
Oh my God, that's so good. Just like flashing the cash straight up.
Yeah, which is not my vibe, but if it's yours, then I can give you his number.
Yeah, stunning. Well, I've invited you on the podcast because you've been working with Plenty of Fish on their desirable dating guide. And me and my listeners, we all need something to sort of give us a new lease of life on dating this year. I need a breath of fresh air. I need to reframe dating in my head as more of a positive thing. And I think some of the results in there and some of the research that they've provided is really helpful in terms of reframing bad dating behaviors in a positive way. So my first question for you is, what are the top dating pet peeves in the UK? And what's something that we can all agree is terrible dating etiquette and behaviour?
Yeah, so Plenty of Fish and I did this research to look at the top turnoffs in the UK, but we also were looking at strategies in how to improve that. And what we found was that 49% have received rude and nasty comments. Catfishing is 44%. And being ghosted with no explanation is 43%. So unfortunately, these are quite common behaviours. But I think the positive of it is that you aren't alone. And I think sometimes when these things happen to you, you take it personally. When, I mean, I've always believed that if someone ghosts you, they've ghosted you before, they'll probably ghost you again unless they're willing to work on their behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's a sign of cowardice. It's a sign of bad communication as well. Do you really want to date someone with bad communication?
No.
And also someone who can't communicate. It's a tough conversation to end it with someone, but it's a relatively easy conversation if you look at the context of life, of like, you're going to have to talk, have conversations around grief if you're in a long-term relationship, maybe miscarriage, like real life stuff. So if someone can't just say, hey, this isn't really working out, I've had a really fun with you and I've had a great time on our dates, but I think we should go our separate ways. That's not that hard to say. That if you can't have that conversation, good luck letting them hold your hand through whatever else life throws at you. And so I think it's one of these things of, so I think sometimes we get lost in not actually having the language to end it. And I think the statistics were both reassuring to me in the fact that, first of all, you're not alone. There's loads of people going through the same things. But second of all, that the research also found that people are willing to stand up for themselves, set their boundaries, and people are really investing in their personal growth. And 82% agree that the benefits of self-improvement can lead to greater self-awareness and success when dating. So people are really putting in that effort to know their boundaries, stick to their self-worth, and call out this substandard dating behavior.
Yeah, because I think all of those things have one thing in common. Not one thing in common, lots of things in common. It makes people feel rejected and it hurts people's self-esteem. And I think what you said about the fact that you know everyone else is going through it is so interesting, because sometimes you can look around and you see everyone's so happy, everyone's feeling you know, everyone's got someone, everyone's going on loads of dates. And I'm kind of feeling like that at the moment. Like, I actually haven't been on a date all year, which is crazy because I host like a primarily a dating podcast. But I just feel, I'm feeling so disenfranchised with that at the moment. So it's nice that you can draw a positive from those negative behaviors.
So in those 8 years I was single, there were the first 3 years I didn't go on a single date. That was a conscious decision. I think it's okay to take time to not actually go on dates. But I also think that there are phases where I was on dating apps, where I was trying to get a date, and it just wasn't happening. And then there would be times when I would find a date and then 2 days later, someone else would ask me out on a date and I'd be going on 3 dates in a week. It comes in waves. And I think it's, again, just not taking it personally. And also, you don't want the quantity of dates, you want the quality of dates. And that actually, if you go on a date and you weren't compatible to begin with, and maybe that was viewed through your profile and you could see that you weren't, or even just the conversation you had on the app, that will lead to you going on a date and then probably leaving quite deflated from the date. Whereas it's better to know what you're actually looking for, to go on those dates with accurate profiles so that they know what you look like, you know what they look like, you know whether your sense of humor is compatible. And maybe that's having longer conversations before you actually go on the date, or actually picking up the phone. That's another thing that I started doing because I was just didn't want to be wasting my time anymore.
In saying all of this, what are your top tips for a desirable dating life? What are some simple life hacks that people can use to have a better dating life?
So I'm all about the boundaries. So, mm-hmm. And the research actually showed this, 54% feel comfortable calling someone out on substandard behavior, with 49% stating they know their self-worth and want to stick to their boundaries and their expectations. And I think essentially it starts from the get-go. You have to set a precedent for boundaries. So it could be something as simple as when they arrange the date and the date is 2 minutes from their house and 2 hours from yours, you're like, hey, this doesn't work for me. Or if they text you at 2 o'clock in the morning, you reply at 10 o'clock in the morning, which is an acceptable time to text someone, and say, hey, if you want to actually plan a date with me, you're going to have to give me more notice. So let me know the plan and I'll let you know if I'm free. Rather than just say, like, just letting that person dictate the dynamic of your conversation or the dynamic of the relationship altogether. I think a lot of the time we preoccupy ourselves with being liked so much that we don't actually stand up for behavior that we would never even tolerate from a friend.
Yeah. And I think it's so interesting that you speak about introducing these behaviors so early on, because when I think about it, I would normally think, oh, I'd want to, you know, hook them in first and then set boundaries later. But if you do it from the get-go, you're sort of creating that relationship like from the start in a way that works for you.
I also think trying to change the dynamic is a lot harder, because I kind of see it as like not a contract, but like, it's like saying, hey, I'm going to be this people-pleasing, easygoing, low-maintenance person for the first 3 dates, and then I'm going to flip on you because I feel like I've hooked you in, and yeah. Now I'm going to be a completely different person. And the person you're dating is going to be like, so where did this person come from? This wasn't the person I was on. Like, so it's just this very strange illusion. I think sometimes it is this thing of, there's a lot of pressure, particularly on women, to be in a relationship, and that being single is a problem. But actually, when I looked at being single, it was full of freedom, opportunity. Yeah. And I loved the dating aspect of it, because again, it just introduced new people in my life. And in what other area of your life do you meet strangers as often as you do in dating? And it was opening my world up in so many beautiful ways, because I was meeting people who were like exposing me to things I'd never even thought about. Like, I remember I dated a guy who was really into like bouldering, and I had no clue what the difference between rock climbing and bouldering is, but I was like, let's do a rock climbing date. I dated a guy who was a professional golfer. I was like, let's go to mini golf. I dated a guy who was a pastry chef at the Ritz, and I was like,
what?
Great, let's go to a cooking class together. Like, it's things that I would have never done with my friends. And I was like, it just felt like my world was so much bigger when I was dating.
God, this is really uplifting me. I'm sort of like, okay, I'm straight on a dating app after this, and I'm gonna get a date in this week. My next question was, what are some positive dating behaviors we can look to introduce into our lives? And this is sort of including, when people are on a date, what are some positive things they can do to just help their best selves shine? Because I think, like you were saying, you want to be yourself, but what's something that you can do to come across in the best way and let your true self come out?
So I think one of the things that we found in the research was like authenticity is key, where you have to actually be yourself and actually have the confidence to be yourself. And that sounds like a really wishy-washy thing, but it's all of these rules we get told about like, men don't like loud women. Well, in order for you to find a man in straight relationships, a man who likes loud women, you need to be a loud woman. There, no gender is a monolith. There's not a whole subsection of society yeah. who isn't interested in a certain personality trait. So you have to be the confidence, to have the confidence to be yourself in order for you to actually find someone who's interested in that. Because if you're so busy to pretending to be quiet, what you're going to do is you're actually going to attract someone who's into a quiet person. And there's nothing wrong with being quiet or being loud. It's just about compatibility. And so it starts with your profile, actually putting things on there that might not float everyone's boat. I remember my dating app used to have the words emotional intelligence, and that used to be a great, it was something along the lines of like, I'm looking for someone with emotional intelligence who loves deep chats and lots of cuddles in between. Mm-hmm. That's told you I'm an affectionate person. If you don't like an affectionate person, go away.
Yeah.
That's told you I'm really into like deep chats and emotional intelligence. And it weeded people out because a lot of people replied being like, what's emotional intelligence? Is that like IQ? Like, you've already told me that we're not going to be a match.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that is just like being able to be opinionated. And a lot, I mean, I even had that on my dating app. I was like, I'm a very opinionated person. So again, if you want easygoing, breezy, like someone who doesn't have a lot of opinions, she's not me. So go find someone else. And it's about actually staying authentic to it. So it's also about the pictures that you put on your dating apps. Mm-hmm. Put full body pictures. Don't put edited or airbrushed photos. Don't put Photoshop photos. You're not doing yourself a favor, because then you go on the date and start worrying that they're going to expect a different person turning up. Well, obviously, if you've edited your photos, they probably have a reason to. And as we found in the research, people don't like being catfished. So I understand sometimes it comes from a place of insecurity that you want to hide what you believe to be the worst aspects of yourself. But if you're in a long-term relationship, and maybe that's not everyone's goal when dating, but for those who have a goal of getting into a relationship, that person is going to see you in every single aspect. They're going to see you when you're first thing in the morning with bedhead. You're going to be seen, I don't know, I'm thinking of like the times I've had eye surgery and I was like in bed for 4 days without showering. You want someone where their attraction to you is not going to be that fragile.
In the lead up to a date, I know you mentioned dating apps and, you know, being authentic in the lead up. What are some other ways in a lead up to a date that we can best prepare ourselves?
I think also trust your intuition. So if anything feels off, then listen to your gut. And I think you have to know that the unfollow button is there. And 26% of people in the research we found are prioritizing their peace by deciding to unmatch or unfollow potential love interests or move on if they behave inappropriately. And I understand it's not the best like outcome when you have to end something, when you are looking forward to a date or whatever it is, but you have to know what you deserve and you have to be okay with staying single. And I always say single is better than a bad relationship. And I think sometimes we make being single forever the worst consequence, but actually it's a beautiful period of time and usually it's a finite period of time. So make the most of it. And also that I think it's a time in your life when you can really prioritize you. And I think that's a wonderful, beautiful thing. And you take so many of those lessons once you're actually in a relationship from your single period, because you've actually shown yourself how to rely on yourself, be independent, all of these things. And so when you get into a relationship, it's a lot easier to maintain your identity and not just merge into one human.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I do find that the best love story you have is with yourself and how you change over time. And when I'm single, I really notice how I'm feeling and, you know, what makes me happy, and I can just do indulgent things or fun things. I can just do whatever I want, and it's amazing.
There's so much freedom in being single. It's genuinely like, looking back, I just had so much fun, and I wish there was more room for those conversations. That I think dating is just such a lovely period of time, but I think sometimes when you go to parties and you tell people you're single, you get this pity, you get this like, oh, why are you still single, as if it's a problem. And so it becomes easy to convince yourself that it is a problem, when actually it's a wonderful period of time.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, how can we look inwards, especially if we are single, and focus on self-improvement in regards to dating and our own behaviours?
So one of the things I tell people is, ask yourself the question, would you date you? I think a lot of the times we focus on aesthetics. So when you think your love life isn't going as well as it should, or that you're not getting as many dates as your friend maybe, the first thing that people do is, okay, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to all of these things that are essentially becoming closer to the beauty ideal. When actually it's not about what you look like, it's much more about how you behave. And people don't look at things like, okay, well, when someone gets close to you, do you run away? Do you get scared? Do you push people away? Do you find it hard to apologize when you're wrong? Do you just shut people down when you feel like you got into a conflict so that you don't have to have the conversation? Do you ghost people? Do you disappear? And when I ask myself the question, would I date me? And I asked this probably towards the end of those 3 years where I was single without dating. All the things that came to mind were actually things that were about my behavior and my personality, much more so than the way I looked. Because at the end of the day, there is always going to be someone who finds you attractive. And I know that sounds like such a obvious sweeping statement, but it's true. And you have to believe you're beautiful before you to be able to see the other people in the world who see your beauty as well. So I think it's the fact that a lot of the times when you don't see your beauty and someone tells you you're beautiful, the first instinct is, especially around compliments, is to shut them down, say, oh no, I'm so tired today, whatever it is. But actually accepting those compliments and sometimes trusting that other people find you beautiful even if you aren't able to see it yourself, but actually accepting there are other people who can see what you can't see at the moment. But when I asked myself that question, it was a lot of the things that I needed to work on were around communication and the fact that I don't like the word needy, but I was very reliant on external validation of the people around me because I wasn't secure in my own decisions. And so that can be a heavy weight on someone you're in a romantic relationship with. And so I'm very much, that question, would you date you, very much spotlights all the aspects of yourself you can work on in order to improve your dating life. And it doesn't just improve your dating life. When you improve your ability to apologize, your ability to communicate, that affects your whole life.
Yeah, and I guess that's a good tool for single people who might not be looking for a relationship at this point, but it's just a good way to self-reflect.
Absolutely. And I think also it's it's taking this focus off of changing your thighs or changing, like, whatever you want to change about your body. Is the person who is most conscious of your appearance is you. And they, or I think when you go on those dates, you have to remember they already know what you look like, assuming you've not edited your photos, and they've agreed to go on the date with you. Therefore, trust them that they can make their own judgment around your attractiveness. Hopefully, if they don't find you attractive, they won't say it to your face. And you need to let them be interested in you, even if you don't believe why they would be interested in you. Because what happens is, if you don't have the self-esteem in place and someone's interested in you and you maybe have insecurities about the way you look like, then you start thinking things like, well, there must be something wrong with them for them to be interested in me, when actually that just speaks more to your self-esteem, because you don't believe someone would actually be interested in you. So you need to work on that ability to believe that someone would actually love you, like you, be interested, be attracted to you, all of these things. And one of the exercises I did early on when I asked myself, would you date you, is I wrote 100 reasons why someone would want to date me.
So that such a good idea.
But and people go, you mean 10, don't you? And I was like, no, I mean 100. And
oh,
they're like,
my
you mean
God.
50? And I'm like, no, stop negotiating down. If you don't know 100 reasons why someone should date you, then you don't know what you bring to the table. And yes, when you actually sit down to do the list, it probably takes 2 to 3 hours. And there is a point where you're like, I have nothing left. But what happens is, if you continue to sit there, your brain will start searching for more reasons. And actually, that brick wall that you feel like, I literally have nothing left in me, that's what you want to happen. You want your brain to actually be looking for reasons why people would want to date you. And then when you go on dates, you go with a completely different energy, because you know what you bring to the table. And also, you know yourself better than anyone else. So no one can tell you who you are. So someone said, like, oh, I don't want to date you because you're really stubborn, I'd be like, yeah, fair enough, I'm really stubborn. But if someone said to me, like, I don't want to date you because you're really rude, I'd be like, I'm not a rude person.
I'm not
like,
rude.
I just know I'm not. So I'm a direct person, but I'm not rude. And so you can't tell me who I am, because I've already done that work myself.
That is so cool. I'm going to do that this week, I think. And also, I think it's a great question to ask people as well. I'm going to introduce it. Top 3 reasons why someone should date you. Love that.
Should, like, I go first?
Yeah. Yeah, can you? What's the top three?
Okay, so top 3 reasons someone would want to date me. I think I'm a very loving, caring person. Like, I'm very affectionate, but also I'm very complimentary in my words. So I tell people, not just my romantic partners, but like anyone in my life, I'm always like, I love you, I appreciate you, I care about you. Like, thank you so much. I'm always thanking people as well. I'm always like, thank you so much for being, I was just thanking my boyfriend because I've been quite ill this week. So I was like, thank you so much for looking after me this week. So that's one of the ways I believe I'm most loving, and also why I deserve to be loved. And then I think I'm very, like, driven, ambitious person. And I actually think that brings a lot of character. And I think, yeah, I'm always doing exciting things. I'm always doing interesting things. And the third thing is, I'm actually just quite fun.
Yeah.
That, like, I have I like to laugh. I like to smile. I try to find the good in things. And I'm always doing something new and interesting in London. Like, I always, I'm not really the kind of person to just want to do the same old. So I'm always finding weird things. Like, I went roller skiing the other day, which didn't even know that was a thing.
Me neither.
I've taken a hot tub down the Thames. That was a lot of fun. What other things have I done? I do paddle boarding quite a lot. Just weird things in London at the moment. Shuffle boarding. I did that the other day.
Love shuffle boarding. So fun.
It's just like interesting things you can do. And I think I don't think anyone's boring, but I think people who think they're boring have a boring life. Whereas I'm like, I'm not so sure I'm interesting, but I know I have an interesting life.
Yeah, God, I'm really going to have to go and sit down and think about it. I'm trying to think of it now, but now I'm like getting distracted. It's such a great question.
Well, at least give us one. You have to give us one now.
Okay, I think, I'm copying yours because you said them, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm kind of like that. So I suppose that I'm pretty fun as well, and driven and ambitious, but I'm trying to think of something else. Probably I love to, like, care for people, and I love feeding people. So I have like, I've got two new housemates, and every day since they moved in, I'll like make a little bit too much food. And I'm like, oh, guys, there's food in the fridge. Like, if anyone wants some, and they're like, no, it's okay. Like, I've already ate. And I'm like, eat it. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I'm quite generous in that respect, because I just love like when someone's like, oh, this is so yummy. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah, it's actually reminding me that I'm always the kind of person who offers my food before I eat it first.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether, I think I'm the same. I show my love through food. And
yeah.
But then my boyfriend said to me the other day, yeah, but it's also like two-sided, because you always offer your food in expectation that you're going to be offered my food back.
Yeah.
So he's like, it's not this selfless showing love thing. And I'm like, maybe, but you should offer your food.
Yeah, like, it goes around in a circle. Yeah, my ex used to do this thing where, like, because I've got celiac, so I'm gluten-free, and if we were out, he knew that I would try and steal whatever he got. So he would get something that had gluten in it, so purposely, so I wouldn't try and steal it. And he'd be like, oh, I can have a bite of yours, but mine's got gluten in it. I'm like, what the hell?
It reminds me of the Friends, like, Joey doesn't share food.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's such a boy mentality. Like, just give me a bite. I'm not going to eat the whole thing. Like, I just want to taste it and know what I'm missing, you know?
It just tastes more delicious than when it's coming off someone else's plate.
There's nothing worse than a restaurant when, like, you're going to order theirs and you're like, oh, we'll get something different so we can both see. And theirs comes and you're like, damn it. That looks amazing.
Well, now, because I know he's not going to share, we sometimes order the same thing. And I'm like, I hate this. It's such a missed opportunity. We could be enjoying two dishes right now.
Exactly. Oh, God. Well, my last question is, when should you say yes to a second date?
So I think the time to say yes for a second date, we have a checklist within the Plenty of Fish desirable dating guide.
Amazing.
Because I think it's actually a thing that people overcomplicate a lot of the time. And it has things like, were you laughing during the date? And it is about simplifying it. And ultimately, I don't think you actually have to like them in order to go on a second date. And that sounds controversial, but I think I lower the barometer, because I think first dates, there are nerves and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I say, if you're still curious about them and you would enjoy the evening, even if there's no third date, then say yes. And I think it just having that baseline of curiosity, as rather than having to decide whether you like someone or whether you have a future after what, like the first date's usually like 2-3 hours. Sometimes it can obviously go over longer, but like, it's hard to decide, a lot of pressure that people put on themselves is also like deciding whether you want to like marry the person. And I'm like, they're a stranger still. Like,
I don't know them.
No matter how long you've spent you're on the first date, they're still a stranger. So you don't need to know everything. But also, I think a lot of the time when I first started dating, I would get really worried about ending it with people, because I never wanted to hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah.
So my concern was that I would go on like 3-4 dates and then I wouldn't be interested anymore. And then it would be more hurtful than if I had ended it on the first date. So the thing that I tell people is give yourself time and the permission to actually not know. You aren't leading someone on if you aren't sure yourself. And so if you're going on 3-4, sometimes I've been on 5 dates. I thought I was interested and then I wasn't anymore.
Yeah.
You're allowed to change your mind and just keep going on those dates as long as you're curious about them. As soon as you stop being curious or not looking forward to the time that you spend together, then that's when you end it. But up till that point, you're still allowed to continue dating.
Yeah.
And also you can communicate about it. You can say like, hey, I'm not sure like how you feel about this, but I'm enjoying getting to know you. I'm not so sure about what I'm actually looking for long term, but for the moment, I'm just enjoying it. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time it's easy to get wrapped up in how the other person feels. And it's okay to like, you feel what you feel, but as long as you communicate it, that's the key thing. So, you know, if you do stop liking someone, just don't ghost them. Just tell them, like, and that's okay. Like, you're allowed to stop liking someone. It's just communicating that and being open about it.
I also think it's about communicating in the way that you want to be communicated with. And I think if you don't want someone to ghost you, then you can't be responsible for that substandard dating behavior either.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on the pod, Michelle. It's been an absolute pleasure. And honestly, we're recording this, like, this is my first meeting or recording of the day. And it's just like, it's so lovely to chat to you. So thank you.
I know, perfect way to start the day. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with the wonderful Michelle. Please let me know on any of my socials. The links are in my bio if you have any stories or thoughts of your own to share. Peace.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.